Welcome to the Drunk to Who podcast. I'm John.
And I'm Steve.
And Steve, we're the co-hosts for the Drunk to Who podcast.
Yeah.
But as the co-host who came up with our screed, what is our screed, Steve?
Our screed is, this is the podcast where we drink, watch Doctor Who drink, and talk about Doctor Who all while drinking.
Do I have a screed?
I don't know.
I'm kind of useless here. I'm like a third thumb.
There you go.
Like, my head's shaped like a third thumb, so maybe. I guess it makes sense somehow. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to, like, watch an episode of Doctor Who today. You're going to listen to an episode of Drunk
Who. Well, we're recording this over a video conferencing app, so technically we're going to watch an episode of Drunk Who also.
No, well, I guess we are. Now, when you're, like, downloading the sound and all this sort of stuff, do you have to actually watch it?
Oh, God, no.
Okay, so it records our sound separately.
I set it to record our audio in a separate file.
Okay, but you could choose to rewatch us if you wanted to.
I mean, I could, but that seems narcissistic and weird. And this is coming from a guy who co-hosts the podcast, saying that something sounds narcissistic
and weird.
Yeah.
Well, you're the narcissistic one. I'm the weird one. That's what I'm going for.
Sure.
And Steve, today we're going to watch an episode of Doctor Who.
Yes.
But this being the 107th episode of Drunkter Who.
Oh, yeah.
Today we're going to watch from Series 7, the way back in the days of Matt Smith's Swan Song. But not like David Tennant's Swan Song, where David Tennant is like, me, 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 me. Matt Smith is just kind of like, I'm an actor. I need
to finish. He was warming up his voice for singing his Swan Song.
He was, and we're going to watch Series 7, Episode 9.
Yeah.
Called Hyde.
Yes.
Steve, what the hell is Hyde about?
Hyde is about, Clara is, I'm trying to remember what the last episode was. God damn it.
last episode was Cold War.
Oh, Cold War, that's right. So,
see, this is completely different because Cold War, Cold War was set on a Soviet sub, Steve.
Oh, that's right.
So with an ice warrior, which you kept calling him a Martian, and I kept correcting you.
Oh, that's right. You did keep correcting. Like I missed, even though you mentioned it like six times, that he was just, there was a base on Mars that they were deployed from. Re-listened,
so.
Yeah, I know. And I noticed that while I was editing. I'm like, oh, I was pretty obtuse about this shit. Hyde is about the fact that, so there's this new thing in the TARDIS where the TARDIS can scamper off on its own to save itself.
That was weird to me.
Yeah, so that malfunctions when the doctor's trying to bring Clara back to contemporary London for her to, you know, hang out at home for a bit. And so that function of the TARDIS misfires, and Clara gets moved to a place in the TARDIS that she does not recognize. And so it's basically, it all takes place in the TARDIS, and she's wandering around trying to find things, and she's running into things from Doctor Who's past. And I think, I don't know, let's also say that there's some hallucinating going on. It's almost like a holodeck thing. Was it so the holodeck?
Is she kind of having a journey to the center of the TARDIS sort of going on?
Why did you say it like that?
I don't know, like journey to the center of the Earth.
Yes.
I don't know.
You said that. So, you had a weird look on your face when you said that. Is that a title?
No. It's just John being weird.
Okay.
So she's having a journey to the center of the TARDIS where she's interacting with things.
But she's trying to like get back to like the main, the bridge essentially. And the doctor's also, you know, pulling dials and other things and looking up like, and he's also trying to, I'm going to guess that this is all connected to her status as the impossible girl. And the TARDIS is malfunctioning also because it's trying to process what she is and who she is and how she is.
Because she's an impossible girl.
I guess. So yeah, so that's, I guess, it. And then, woo, it happens and everything is fine. And we don't find out still how she was a dead Dalek. And is this girl in two different timelines in London or time periods in London?
Well, that's an excellent description of what the episode is going to be about, Steve.
And I apologize if I'm using London for anywhere in Britain, but, you know, whatever.
We're Americans. That's, you know, name another city in London. See, you can't.
No, because it's already a city.
Right? Uh-huh. So you couldn't.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, our London listeners, please don't at us. Or please at us. How would they at us, Steve?
Well, they can write an email to drunkterwho@gmail.com or at us on Twitter at drunkterwho or at srdolan. That's mine.
Do you have an Instagram now, too?
I do, but yeah, I've had it for a while. Mainly because my niece and nephews are on there and I just wanted to see their pictures and shit.
Oh, okay. So you don't want to like give people too much
stuff. I mean, if you want, it's the same username. If you want to follow that username on Instagram or even that movie rating website Letterboxd, you can. I mean, that's whatever. Yeah.
So that's what we're going to watch today. We're going to watch Clara do the stuff you said.
Just wander around the TARDIS interacting with things from the Hoostery.
Yep. And, you know, I bet that's just going to happen. Just no, the way you not. Said, you know, because Steve,
it's probably going to be in some like Victorian era mansion where there's like a space ghost that she has to hide from or that is hiding from them and they have to draw out. I don't know, some bullshit.
Yeah.
What?
You're a lot closer on that one. you said like before, it sounds like you had like a plan for the other one, but this one just like off the top of your head. I'm like,
it was,
dude, you should not plan.
I don't usually have a plan. Something kind of popped into my head when we were talking before we started recording. When you mentioned you'd listen to the previous episode. So yeah, but okay.
Okay.
Well, that's cool. The one that I said was some bullshit is closer to reality.
Way closer. Way closer. Awesome. Not to spoil anything, but this one's a little creepy.
Okay.
So, cool.
Are you my mommy?
Not that creepy.
Okay.
But like, okay, so now for like the pathetic little bit of booze you have left in your shot glass.
I just took a little sip earlier because it was next to me and we were talking and whatever.
Several sips.
No, see, just like what?
See, mine's brimming. Oh, wait, mine just disappeared into my background.
Yeah, I know.
So, all right. So, hey.
Yeah.
What is our Drunk to Who toast of the episode, Esteban?
I love this plan. I'm excited to be part of it.
Link.
What did you do your shot of? Was it tequila again?
Please. Yeah, you know, what am I willingly going to keep in my house? Tequila? What are you willingly keeping in your house? Many things.
Yeah.
But it seems like your go-to is typically a whiskey.
Yeah. Last time I think I said it was Maker's Mark, but it was actually Jack Daniels. I don't know why. I forget. I switched them in my head after.
You wanted to be fancier?
I think Maker's Mark might be. Yeah, maybe I did. I don't know. No, that's what I did before. This time I actually went really fancy and it was a bourbon called Few, which I believe is from Evanston. Actually, a distillery in Evanston, Illinois.
Is it Few with a PH?
No. It's FEW. It might have a, because I think the women's temperance movement might have had a big presence in Evanston. And it might have like that old building on the label, but I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Because isn't that where the Sundays came from?
The what?
A Sunday was like a response to the temperance movement where it just kind of like, instead of having something booze flavored, you would have ice cream flavored. I actually kind of like think that started in Evanston.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway, hey, what was that toast again? I forget. It was so
I swear I remember it and it's not written down that
you had
to
like
look
a panic
right
in
now.
Your eyes there for a second. It's kind of like, fuck. Which one did I say?
I love this plan. I'm excited to be part of it. It's actually from what?
No, I don't know. It's like, are you supposed to say it in such like a ennui?
It's Ghostbusters. It was I believe it was a line said by Bill Murray. So
yes.
Kind of yes.
Yeah, so yeah, basically anything Bill Murray would say would be like, I love this plan.
Yeah,
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
Deadpan. So yeah.
So that's what Steve said this episode of Doctor Who is going to be about. Is that about as generic as you want it?
Who fucking knows?
Okay, so, you know, hey.
It's been so long.
We edited about 10 or 15 minutes of stuff out, so we can actually get to the point of what this podcast is about.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, let's watch an episode of Doctor Who. So make the with the whoosh whoosh, and we'll see you on the other side, peeps.
Yeah. See, this is why we can never do one of these on Instagram Live, because I can't edit out all the bullshit.
What's funny too, you always tell me to like hurry up, and then you like bring up something.
Yeah, well, all right, fine. We'll watch. We'll be done. Whoosh, whoosh, shit. Okay.
Whoosh, whoosh. Whoosh. So, Steve.
Yes.
There's an episode of Doctor Who that was just watched.
Yes.
And this is the part of the podcast where I would normally ask you, what did we just watch?
Yeah.
So not to break with tradition.
Okay.
Steve.
Yes.
What did we just watch?
We just watched an episode of Doctor Who.
Very good. Thank you. So what happened?
It takes place in 1974.
Nice. What gave you that clue?
The fact that they said later on that it was 1974.
Remember the exact date?
November 25th, so 1974.
So like Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
So they were celebrating Thanksgiving, where there was a giant turkey on the table.
I mean, they're in England, so they don't have Thanksgiving?
No, they call it stolen giving.
What? Okay.
They call it stolen giving because it's like they were stolen from us. I don't know.
So then they're talking to a ghost. She's got some weird psychic abilities. I don't know if they establish that now. They're talking to about a ghost, and they're trying to communicate with the ghost. And then all of a sudden there's thudding. And then there's more thudding at the front door. And so boom, boom, boom. The guy goes and answers the front door, and it's the doctor, who's in a really good mood.
Yeah. And he's like, wait, you have ghosts, don't you? And he's like, yeah. So who are you going to call?
Right.
And then Clara shows up.
And
what does she say?
Oh, no, she says, I think she says, we're Ghostbusters.
Uh-huh.
Because I think the guy says, who are you? And Clara goes, we're Ghostbusters.
And then we cut to credits. Bow,
yeah, bow, we cut bow, to credits.
Bow, 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 boom. Matt Smith, Jenna Coleman.
And then, so the doctor opens up his psychic paper, his wallet, and says, hey, we're from the ministry, I think he said.
Half the time it's like if he just like pulls out the second paper and says we're from the ministry, there's always a ministry.
I guess, yeah. And it always makes me think of Harry Potter.
Right, the ministry of muggles.
Yes. So the doctor holds up his psychic paper and says, I'm the doctor. And the guy says, doctor what? And the doctor goes, that'll do.
Oh, I know, I like that.
So they played on the Doctor Who and said, doctor what? I like that. And
close says, enough.
And then I think the guy says, so you're from the ministry. And the doctor just runs with it.
Right.
And then the doctor is like wandering around and he's all enthusiastic. And he's zapping things with his sonic screwdriver. And he plays with all like the buttons and switches, the toggles. He loves the word toggle as both a noun and a verb.
Right. And he says to the guy, it's like, hey, you're that guy who was like a war hero who did sort of things that like was all like, you know, nobody knows about because it was all kind of like, but you're a hero. And like, you must be the lady, his companion. And then like, you know, Claire's like, it's the 70s. It's like, oh, his helper, his assistant,
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was an awkward moment where doctor was implying that the two had a relationship that they hadn't really explored, but later on we'll find out they do.
Mm-hmm.
There was a cool moment that I actually made a note of.
Oh, you did you take notes again?
I did.
This is like a Steve that I barely know.
Well, because when we're watching this together, it's awkward to take notes, you know?
So you're just like desperate for any kind of attention since you're like, you know, stuck there. Yeah. All by yourself with like your wife or in English terms, your parlance, your partner.
Yes. So, so far my notes were 1974 Jolly Interrupter, which was the doctor, Doctor What, Ministry, Sonic Gadget, because the guy asked him what the sonic screwdriver was and he brushes it off as a gadget, and then toggle, and then candle wax. Because this was a cool moment, I noticed that the doctor is holding like a candelabra at one point. You know, it's got the three candles in it. And he's like walking around with it. And he's talking. I don't even remember the name of the guy with the glasses.
Let's just call him Guy with the Glasses.
Okay. So Guy with Glasses and the Doctor are talking, and the Doctor puts down the candelabra, and you can see, like, drops of candle wax actually, like, flick off of this thing. So it was, like, it was very cool because it's like, oh, they're real candles. This is a real, like, it. I don't know why, but it jumped out to me.
It delighted you, and it's like old-fashioned.
It kind of did. So, and then my notes are, dares Clara.
Oh, because she's like, hey, I'm going to go look for a ghost. He's like, I dare you. She goes,
oh, no.
Fine. Let's look for a ghost.
No. She says, dare me. And he goes, I dare you. And then he adds some, like, I triple dog dare you, whatever. He adds some things to it. And she's like, okay. And that works. It's like she didn't even need, it was okay if even she prodded the Doctor to dare her. Like, it was,
she was the Hobbes to his Calvin.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. She was the imaginary tiger to his, like, 6-year-old boy.
Yep.
Yep.
And so the Doctor and Clara wander around go off to explore the house.
They're looking for the heart of the house.
The heart. Well, she says the music room is the heart of the house as they walk around, the psychic lady,
the empath lady.
Yeah.
She was more like Tasha Yar than, no, not Tasha.
I don't know
Tasha.
What you're talking about.
No. Who was, like, from Star Trek Next Generation? The empath. It's like, Captain, I'm sensing that they are like confused.
Oh, you mean Marina Sirtis?
Was that? Yeah, but what was her character name?
Dude, I don't know.
Oh, right. Yeah. So Marina Sirtis was just like, she's like, I'm from England. I'm going to put on a weirder accent, and says, hello, go talk to them. And so, yeah. So then the Doctor and Clara go look for, like, stuff. And the two of them are like pushing toggles and taking pictures and stuff. And then the Doctor and Clara come to a cold spot.
Oh, Deanna Troi, by the way.
Thank you, Deanna Troi. I knew you'd like, I saw you're like Googling or whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Tasha Yar, she's the one who got killed in the first season. That was Denise Crosby. My bad.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the empath lady and the scientist guy, that's what I'm going to call them.
I call them a scientist.
They're obviously into each other.
Totally.
So yeah, so the Doctor and Clara go off to find the heart of the TARDIS, which she says is in the music room. So then they end up in the music room, and there's some good banter here between Clara and the Doctor.
Well, and also, like, while they're, like, searching, there's always stuff in the corner that, like, kind of, like, you know, it's like there is, like, some weird shit going on.
Yeah.
Because we did see the ghost. They took pictures of the ghost. They're like, there's a ghost going on. There's, like, there's something going entity. On here. There is an entity going on.
Sure. So then when they're in the music room, you can, the Doctor, all of a sudden you can see his breath, and it reminded me of The Sixth Sense. Because it's just weirdly cold. And the Doctor decides to, like, make a chalk circle on the floor for that.
He's like, warm, cold, cold, warm, warm, cold, cold, warm. Yep. It makes a circle.
And then you hear weird thuds. I think.
No, we do.
Yeah, you hear weird thuds. And there's a story they tell at the beginning, or toward the beginning, the ghost hunter tells the Doctor or Clara about how American soldiers in World War II, how they for some reason there were tins of spam involved, how that, like, that was found, like, bricked up in a wall, tins of spam and notes that they wrote to the ghost.
I have no recollection of that whatsoever.
You don't remember this?
I wonder if that wasn't in my version.
Well, it was right before they were looking at it was at the beginning of the story of them, like, explaining the ghost, and where they were looking at, like, the board that had all the pictures posted on it.
I still have, like, no recollection of spam discussions whatsoever. I enjoy spam. I like spam. I'd have remembered spam.
Oh, weird. Like
spam and eggs and spam, spam, and spam, and spam,
spam, spam, spam, spam, bacon, spam, and spam.
Spam, 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 spam. I'm sorry. You're mostly Viking, so go ahead.
Lovely spam. Wonderful spam.
Spam, wonderful spam. Don't remember that in there. I'll take your word for it. Go on, Steve. You're a Viking.
So then, there's thuds, and then Clara and the doctor, like, I forget which one thinks that they're holding hands.
Oh, she's like, you're holding, no, Clara. Clara's like, yeah. Well, stop holding my hand. He's like, I'm not holding your hand.
And they're like, oh, holy shit. So then they go and they end up back, they run away and they end up back with the former soldier, the ghost hunter and the empath. And they're hanging out, they're talking more. And then they split off so the doctor can, like, I think the doctor is, yeah, they're developing film. And and Clara and the empath are talking about relationship statuses.
Of course, like, they're, you know, this did not pass the Bechdel test because they were talking about dudes.
But then while the doctor and the ghost hunter are developing film, the doctor asks why he's doing this. And he's like, yeah, I killed a lot of people and sent a lot of people to their death during the war. So I'm kind of like I'm doing this out of guilt. It's and for some reason, the doctor said the word ping.
Ping?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know why he said the word ping, but I made a note of it. Because
was it in closed captioning?
He actually said it, though. All right. Well, then we'll forget about it.
Yeah, or we're not.
I don't know.
So Clara and, like, the empath are talking. It's like, you know, whiskey, the 11th most disgusting thing in the whole universe.
And I'm like, I just took a shot of bourbon, which was nice. So
that's not whiskey.
It's all, well, yes.
It's American whiskey. Because whiskey is actually Irish.
I know. Like, all bourbons are whiskey, but not all whiskeys are bourbon.
See, like, all sparkling wines are champagne, but all champagnes aren't sparkling wines. Or, no, wait, all champagne, damn it, I don't know.
All IPAs are beer, but not all beers are IPAs.
Thank you, scientician.
You're welcome. So, Clara and the empath are talking about, like, essentially their relationship statuses, and Clara's like, you're a dumbass, this dude is into you, and she's like, are you sure? Sometimes I project things. And then the empath says to Clara, you should not trust that. Or says, are you too involved? And she's like, no. And she's like, good, because you should not trust the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You can't trust him.
Nope.
And then...
the doctor lies.
Yeah, yeah. And we learned that in an earlier
episode.
And then they're, I think they kind of, they get back together, all four of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Clara and the doctor are talking, and Clara is complaining that the TARDIS doesn't trust her, which is weird because we've never seen the TARDIS be like, give attitude towards the companion before, have we?
Maybe a little bit, but then also too, the doctor's like, hey, I noticed the ghost rarely ever does not change its pose.
Yeah.
The ghost is always in the same pose. Why is that? And he's like, wait, I've got an idea.
So yeah, so they get back into the TARDIS. It's raining out, and the Clara has an umbrella that she starts to shake off inside the TARDIS, and the doctor says,
Oi,
don't do that here. And she's like, what? Do you have an umbrella stand? And the doctor was like, oh, wait, there used to be a place for this. And I assume this is some sort of Doctor Who history thing.
Well, he used to have, like, an umbrella stand. I think, like, even, like, Tennant had one.
All right, well, I don't remember.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and the TARDIS is apparently slow to trust Clara.
Well, she's impossible, girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that has to do with it. I don't fucking know. So then the doctor
grabbed a camera. He's like, can I borrow this? And, like, so he goes and, like, grabs like a spacesuit in the TARDIS and takes like pictures like millions of years apart.
Yeah, he goes like 100 million years in the past, and it'll go forward a million years, and he's taking pictures of the exact same spot as the house every couple million years until he goes past where they are, and Clara is like, hey, when are we? And I think he's delighted by that phrase. Of not where are we, but when are we? Isn't this when he like high fives her?
Well, because she's like, are we like moving? He's like, not in space. And she goes, in time, and like, high five.
Yeah. It was so like I thought it was that. I thought it was the phrase that she said, when are we, that he was delighted with.
Well, but they went like billions of years in the past, and they go
on a Tuesday.
And, you know, so he just keeps snapping photos to where it's like finally, yeah. like they go into it's like, you know, where the earth is a scalding hot bit of thing that's about to get eaten by like the sun. And then she's like, hey, you look at us as like ghosts.
Yeah, Clara has some existential dread. And
I felt it with her.
Yeah, she's just like, wait, so are my bones out there somewhere? Like, is my dust, like, am I buried out there? And he's like, yeah, I don't know, probably.
Probably.
And then, so she has some existential dread. And then Clara starts to ask him, like, why do you care? Like, what are we to you? Why do you pay attention to human beings if we're gone, here and gone in essentially a cosmic second?
Yeah.
And he says that humans are the only mystery worth solving.
And he looks at her with like, mystery girl.
And then they,
impossible.
And then they go back to the house, and they explain that there's a pocket universe, and they're that it's not really a ghost, that it's a woman.
So at a certain point, the doctor is like taking all these pictures, and one of them comes out clear. And the doctor's like, "Hey, I used my Google search and found he is like a future time traveler, and somehow she's stuck in a pocket universe. Yeah. So we got to save her."
And that's her name is Hilla, and the guy. The guy says time travel, the ghost hunter says time travel is impossible. And he's like, oh, sure, whatever.
Yeah. So the doctor then brings out an umbilical cord from the TARDIS. And
well, first off, first he explains to them about pocket universes with balloons. A red and blue balloon, which I didn't really get. Whatever.
I didn't either.
And in one of the pictures, in one of the pictures of that he took, they see this woman, Hilla, who turns out to be Hilla, a time traveler. And then there's something chasing her. And I'm excited. I was intrigued because they said that the doctor didn't recognize what was chasing her. So it was a new alien. And it's kind of rare that we get brand new aliens on Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Because they tend to be nostalgia aliens most of the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Either they're a Dalek or a Cyberman or a Silurian or
the ice warrior who exactly. was stationed on Mars.
You know, we have a finite amount of aliens, Steve.
Yeah.
And hair care is one of them. No, wait, that's Legally Blonde.
Okay.
I'm confused.
So I think don't the ghost hunter and the empath have like a romantic moment?
Because not quite yet, but like, you know, so she's saying I have romance, I have feelings, and the doctor's like, oh, hey, dude, you got feelings. He's like, no, I don't, blah blah blah.
There's a romantic moment between the two before she essentially opens the gate with her brain,
right? And the doctor's like, hey, we've got to go and like rescue this lady. This is what the ghost is. I'm going to get like some shit from the TARDIS. A crystal, a blue crystal from
Matsibilis 3.
Right, and it's going to use it to, like, you know, help focus your powers and stuff. Let's cut to the chase. The doctor goes to the pocket universe and finds the chick, rescues her.
Really quick?
Really, really quick?
Yes. He says Geronimo before he jumps in with this harness on, before he jumps into, like, the pocket universe door.
Uh-huh.
Geronimo, is that one of Matt Smith's doctor's words?
Is it Matt Smith or is it David Tennant?
That's literally what asking.
Yeah, no, Matt Smith, he had the Geronimo. Tennant was like...
Alonze.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. And then, really quick for my notes, I have, why would you unclip? So why would you take off the harness?
Well, because he's in that, like, pocket universe, so there was only a finite amount of rope, so he had to, like, go and find. And so then he finds her and, like, brings her back. Yeah,
he runs to the edge of the woods, which reminded me of Dark City, because it's the end of the woods, but also, like, the end of the world they're on.
Well, because it's a pocket universe. Yeah, I was feeling more like it was like a Langoliers sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
You know, there's a specific moment in time that this is representing.
Yeah. So then, he finds the lady and there's something in the mist.
Yeah, there's something following them. But then, like, you know, because...
The phrase something in the mist reminded me of the movie The Mist.
Yeah, I wonder why the mist talk reminded you of The Mist.
I don't know. It's so weird.
I wonder how many bullets he had. So then
the doctor's
like, hey, empath, help us. And she makes like the house appear before like, you know, the doctor and the time travel lady. And like he puts her through the portal. She comes out.
Why? But, like, why didn't they go through together? Why didn't he like hold on to her hand or something and go? Because they had talked about hand holding several times. So why didn't he hold on to her, Hilla's hand, and just go through together?
Okay. What I'm thinking is that because it was still just a projection of what the house appeared to be, it wasn't really the house. So she still had to be hoisted up. Maybe they couldn't hoist both of their weights up.
That doesn't,
because remember the doctor got lowered down, so she was hoisted back, even though like it like made it look like it was just a doorway, she was hoisted back in. So they were trying to get the doctor back in, but the doctor couldn't, so the doctor stuck. So then Clara goes, and if you love the doctor, TARDIS, let me back in and like fix it. And you know,
well, that's when Clara and the TARDIS join forces to save the doctor. But the TARDIS won't let her in. So then all of a sudden a second Clara appears and we're all thrown for a fucking loop.
And Clara's like, the fuh?
Yeah. But it ended up being like the interface. Didn't we see this in another episode?
Probably.
Where the TARDIS had like an interface it chose?
Yes. It like would use an interface, but like this one's just kind of like, I chose an interface that you would find pleasing and you find yourself pleasing. And she's like, bitch.
Yeah. Although it does make sense.
But it's still, it was just like so funny. You know, that like you would believe yourself more than anyone else.
So then they
go, you gotta help us, you gotta help me get the doctor back, and like, you know, but blah blah blah.
The empath lady kind of fails. She falters because it's just too much. But then she uses the power of love from the ghost hunter and this random woman, Hilla, who doesn't really talk much.
It was a little Guardians of the Galaxy, the original, the first one. It's kind of like, I'm going to have a dance-off with this ghost and this creature, and my dance-off will help the doctor. So she starts doing the, like, you know, hey, you know, and she does a little pop and lock thing, and it's like, hey, you know, science guy, touch me. And then like, hey, future lady, touch. And then, like, they use the power of pop and locking and to like help the TARDIS, because the TARDIS is like, my powers are getting strained.
This all makes perfect sense.
It does. So you know, Claire's like, so your powers are strained, but we got to save the doctor. And the TARDIS is like, all right.
Yeah. What I liked, because all of a sudden the doctor is alone and the house disappears and he's wandering around and there's this weird alien behind him. And in the subtitles, it just would always say, Crooked Man Laughing.
Mm.
And I found that even creepier than some of the visual moments. The fact that the subtitle said Crooked Man Laughing, and it meant this weird alien dude. And then in my notes, I have Clara question, but I don't know what it means.
I don't remember either.
Is it the question of Clara, like how she's existing, or I don't know?
Oh, because after they really got, you know, after the doctor came back and like, you know, Clara, future lady, empath, science guy, and the doctor all kind of like chatting, and like, you know, empath lady's like, you didn't come here to like, you know, fix our problem. You came here to ask me a question. What's your question?
Oh, Clara. Yeah.
Clara, she's impossible. She goes, no, she's just a girl. Oh, she's impossible. No, she's just a girl.
Yeah, I'm tired of this already.
Yeah, but then we go back to like the TARDIS, and then, you know, so they're going to like go away. But then like the doctor's like, oh, stupid me. It's about love and like stuff. And
yeah. So then the Doctor becomes an awkward matchmaker because he says that Hilla is like the great, 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 great grandniece, I think.
Grandchild.
Grandchild of those two. And it's like, oh shit, those two weren't even dating. So, and now they have descendants all of a sudden. So it's kind of an awkward matchmaking moment. And then I think he just tells them to hold hands. And then the Doctor says something about sharks mating. Like, what's the, something about sharks mating.
Yeah. How do sharks mate? And like, Clara's like, carefully. And he's like, no, they mate to, like, you know, they reproduce. And it's like,
to enjoy it or some, like, yeah, with enjoyment. Or, and then Clara has a great line where she's like, I don't know much about sharks. All I know is that they're big and quite eaty. So they're eaty. And then basically they go back to the pocket dimension and they're promising that fucking monster to find love. So it's a little bit of monster love at the end.
Yeah, the Doctor realizes, hey.
And then it just ends.
Well, the Doctor's kind of like realizes, like, oh, this creature is just waiting for its mate. Somehow they're separated by spatial anomalies and we're going to fix it. Okay. All right. So the one creature that is in the house has been separated from its mate for ungodly amount of time.
It seems like hundreds of millions of years.
No. Billions of years, dude.
Okay, sorry. Hundreds of millions and billions. I guess that is a big difference.
Dozens of millions of years.
Yes.
It's like, so it's kind of like, shit.
Yeah.
You know, that's like a very patient, you know, it's like, hey, maybe I would have moved on.
That's a long time, yeah.
And find, like, you know, maybe, like, I don't know, a semi-crooked person.
Yeah.
You know, it's so, like the lady, yeah.
Yeah. And so then it ends abruptly. And so I assume that this is an unofficial two-parter.
No.
Because it ends abruptly with the Doctor saying, like, we're going to reunite these monsters.
Yeah, no, it was just kind of like one of these, like, you know, oh, we're going to, like, make it right. And because now I figured out what's making it right. It's not about these guys. It's about these guys. And it's just kind of like, oh, God, what was that one movie where they just kind of, like, ended on, like, you know, freeze frame? You know, it's.
I have no idea what you're talking about. There's a bunch of different possibilities.
Yeah, it's just like one of those, like, you know.
I know there was a shitty horror movie that basically ended with telling you to go to a website, but I don't remember the name of it.
It was like the one. It was like an online one or something. It's like Webster. Yeah,
I think it had a brief theatrical run, but yeah, it was basically like, hey, it ended and it was like, hey, to find out more, go to this website. And it's like, fuck you.
Yeah, pretty much. Fuck you. Yeah, I know. So so then the episode ended, and like, it's assumed that the Doctor reunited these time-cross lovers.
And it felt so good.
And
these
time-cross lovers. And, you know, did he bring Hallie back to her time or not?
Who knows? Hilla. And who knows?
Hallie? You know, maybe she's like, you know, maybe she's Hallie from the Stuff You Should Know podcast or something.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway. So, did you like
it? What's a podcast?
A podcast is something that we do, Steve.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, did you like
this episode? Where we drink about Doctor Who and we drink about Doctor Who. We talk about
Doctor Who all while drinking about Doctor Who.
Yeah, so, no, this episode was pretty good. It was a nice little creepy one. Yeah. It had, I think, like 5 total actors, and that included the 2 regulars. So, that was kind of cool. It's always good to see where they, like, kind of constrict themselves, like where they can restrict themselves and also, you know, do a lot within those restrictions. They had one location and like 3 cast members besides the 2 main ones. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
We didn't go on a weird spaceship or anything.
No, there wasn't a giant crowd like in the Rings of Akintosh or whatever, you know, that were sitting there just waiting to hear some little girl sing.
Yeah, no, I like this episode.
I
remembered liking it before. I still continue to like it.
Yeah,
it was like, you know, there was like stuff that just wasn't about, like, you know, the Doctor and Clara. There was stuff about other people, and like not just other people, monster people.
Yeah, it's all of a sudden. It's like it's
a rom-com.
It kind of reminded me of I'm going to spoil the ending of I Am Legend.
Uh-oh.
Where Will Smith, where you find out that the monster, it's like they're not motivated just by destruction. They're motivated partially by rescuing another monster that they care about.
Oh, yeah, horniness. Because he wanted to save the female monster.
Or was that the deleted ending? I don't remember. Alternate ending?
No, well, there was the ending where he blowed himself. No, where... Because he blowed himself up anyway.
He blew himself up in the regular one, and I think he actually survives in the alternate ending. And it's weird that I like the alternate ending better, I think.
Yeah. Nihilist.
I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. No, so, I like the one where he actually lives, which is weird because normally I would like the bleaker ending, I think. Cool. But it was bleaker in a different way. Anyway, so yeah, there was a monster who loved another monster, and that was their motivation, not terror, but love.
Love finds a way.
Yep.
Like, did you recognize the professor, the doctor guy?
He looked familiar.
His name was Alec Palmer. That's the character name.
Okay.
Doug Ray Scott.
Oh, he's been.
What does that name mean? Anything?
I don't know exactly. But
don't look anything up. I see you've opened. No. Don't do that. Use your actual mind.
No, but my mind. You're opening your Googles. Well.
You're opening your Googles. Well, then let me tell you.
My mind doesn't work very well.
Then let me tell you before you look. Because you're looking up shit. Don't look up shit, Steve. I see you're reading with your eyes.
I recognize the name. Yeah, that's all. I want to say, and I haven't looked him up at all. I want to say he was in one of the X-Men's, but I might be thinking of someone else.
Well, stop looking because I'm going to tell you. He was originally cast as Wolverine, but he was working on Mission Impossible 2. And they were overshooting on Mission Impossible 2, so he could not report to work on X-Men. So then that's why Hugh Jackman became Wolverine.
So Mission Impossible 2 is the one thing I've seen him in.
Yeah, MI2. That was the one done by John Woo.
Yeah, he's just one of those names that it's like you hear it. Or yeah. See it every once in a while. But I really, yeah.
So he's had a career, though, clearly.
Oh, no, he's been in a ton of things.
Well, he was in Desperate Housewives. He had an arc in Desperate Housewives.
Okay.
Hemlock Grove.
We watched, I think, the first three episodes of that.
Yeah.
It was not tedious. Very good. No. Well, it also had Famke Johnson in it, which is another X-Men connection.
And also Pennywise the Clown.
Tim Curry?
Pennywise the Dancing Clown, the one who played him in the movies.
Oh, okay. I also remember there was a woman from Battlestar Galactica in it. It was just not very good.
It was not very good. But he was also in Snatch. There was a TV show from Snatch.
Oh, did not see it. Like the movie, did not see the TV show.
And he's in Batwoman.
Haven't seen that either.
That's like that new CW show. So,
yeah.
Again, he's working. However, he is not Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. I can't keep up with the CW DC Universe shows. I just can't.
Now, the empath, the actress, her name is Jessica Rang. The character is Emma Grayling.
Yes.
Okay. The only thing that really jumped out at me is that... due to the strength of her acting in this, she will be in a future episode. She's going to be in a TV movie called An Adventure in Time and An Adventure in Space and Time. Remember I was telling you like there was like
this
anniversary shit going on?
Yeah, this is the movie that basically is like a behind-the-scenes story of the making of the original Doctor Who.
Correct.
In she 1963. Plays Barry Lambert.
So she was, believe it or not, the first producer for Doctor Who was a female, Vera Lambert, in 1963 England.
Go figure.
You know, it's like that was really fairly progressive. And the first director for Doctor Who was a gay Indian man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I don't think they really knew he was a gay Indian man back then.
Well, they might have known the Indian part.
Yeah, well, yeah, pretty much. But like, you know, I'm sure they all smoked incessantly.
Okay.
Yeah. So this was written by Neil Cross. He was the one who also wrote The Rings of Akatan.
Yeah, this is a familiar. When I saw the name in the credits, I was like, oh yeah, I've seen that name before.
Well, even before, you were like, kind of like Neil Cross. That name is familiar. But again, I think he just has one of those names, Neil and Cross.
Yeah, that's possible.
You know, but like this, he actually wrote this episode first.
Yeah.
And then on the strength of this episode, they offered him Rings of Akatan.
Okay.
Strangely enough, this was Jenna Coleman's first episode filmed as a regular. So they did assign him
for the Daleks. That's weird.
But this is before they did the Snowman.
Okay. Oh, even before the one where she was the Dalek.
Yeah. This was the fourth episode. However, it was her first episode filmed. Right. No, it was after her as a Dalek. But like, okay. You know, so her first one. So it's like then Snowman.
Oh, sorry. You said first as a regular.
Yeah. So okay. Again, like they don't film these consecutively.
Yeah. No, you know, clearly, because it seems like every season we have this thing going on.
Yeah. Did it feel like, you know, she knew what she was doing? It didn't feel like it was out of place, right?
No, definitely not. They had some really good banter. Mm-hmm. I liked their the exchanges they had.
Now, this is directed by Jamie Payne.
Okay.
Again, like it just appears like it's another journeyman director because he directed episodes of Primeval, Survivors, Ashes to Ashes, Cole the Midwife.
Oh, my wife loves that show. It makes her cry a lot, but she does love that show.
Ew, so weird. She likes her period pieces. She likes her Outlanders. She likes that. Da Vinci's Demons, Luther, Outlander.
Oh, really? Yeah. I Luther is something that I do want to see.
And he was also, not just a director, but he was an executive producer for The Alienist.
Oh, which was...
That's another one of those shows you guys like.
Which was, it was okay. I liked the book a lot more than I liked the miniseries, the limited series.
And he will do one more episode of Doctor Who this season, but I won't say the name because it could spoil things.
Yeah. Is it Journey to the Center of the TARDIS? That's the one you named earlier.
No. Okay. So like other stuff for this, like the spacesuit, remember the orange spacesuit?
Yes.
Yeah, we saw that first in the Impossible Planet.
Not Satan's Pit?
And Satan's Pit.
Oh, nice!
Because that was a two-parter.
Yep.
That was a two-parter. Also in 42, and also The Waters of Mars. But it's the first time we've seen Matt Smith wearing it. It was always like a David Tennant one before.
Yep.
Metabalus 3, that was first mentioned in Planet of the Spiders, which was the third Doctor thing. So, you know, when he got like that blue stone that like
powered her little... they said Metabalus 3 a couple times. Yeah.
I think he said Metabolus, but like it's one of those things where they pronounce it differently in different episodes.
Yeah.
Metabolus or Metabalus. I told you about the Crooked Man, they filmed it backwards, which was creepy. They filmed, let me see here. Pretty much we talked about everything else. But I just liked how she was talking about how whiskey is the 11th most disgusting thing.
You know, to each their own.
But also, too, Matt Smith is the 11th Doctor.
He's
the 11th most disgusting Doctor?
The 11th most disgusting whiskey.
Anything else to talk about this episode, Steve, that you have?
Not really. I liked it. It was good. It's got
fun. It was creepy.
A little creepy.
They brought like the sci-fi shit into it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it brought a little stuff into the continuity. I kind of do wish that they would be like either, hey, this is Clara's story, or just be done with it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm intrigued by what she is, but it's like, well, we're just getting no information about this at all. So just be done with it.
I'm still unclear as to what they did with the time traveler lady.
Yeah, that too.
You know, it's like, oh, she's been lost in time and space. Well,
she was in a pocket dimension. So where was she originally from?
Right. Well, from a couple hundred years in their future.
So how did she get into the pocket dimension?
I don't know. Maybe she was stuck there with Sam Neill.
And why wouldn't they take that one, like, crooked man from the house? Why wouldn't they take him to the pocket dimension instead of taking something out of the pocket dimension? Like,
it's a pocket dimension, Steve. Remember, that's there to, like, destroy. Remember, it was already deteriorating.
I don't know.
I thought, again, like, this is a Langoliers thing.
If that it's a moment in time. A pocket universe, like, why is that invalid? Like, why isn't that the regular universe? And we're all just here floating around, and I'm tired.
So that leads me to discussing our unsung crew member of the episode, Steve.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Shall I bring them up?
Sure. Yes.
His name is Dave Bonniewell. That sounds kind of British.
It really does.
Bonniewell. Hello, I'm Dave Bonniewell. He did special effects for Doctor Who, but his credits include special effects and makeup.
Ooh.
So I'm going to intermingle them freely because why the fuck not?
Yeah, go ahead. Do it.
So, like, you know, I'm going to pull out like different credits that he has. I'm going to go kind of chronologically, but not including every one of them. But Event Horizon.
Okay.
That's the Sam Neill reference yes. I made before. Thank you.
Yeah.
Where he ended up being like the devil or something.
I don't know.
It's an evil ship. The New Adventures of Pinocchio.
Wait, what?
The New Adventures of Pinocchio.
Is Jonathan Taylor Thomas involved in that?
No, strangely enough, that wasn't the one. I wondered about that also.
Okay. So that's not the Martin Landau one.
I think Martin Landau was in it. No. Oh, I don't know. Whatever. Oh, I just saw you just open up a new window. He was involved in Dog Soldiers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one just keeps coming up. Seeds of Chucky, 28 weeks later.
Wait, the Seed of Chucky?
Seed of Chucky.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one. That's the one. I think that's the one where they have the kid.
Well, again, that would be, I guess, assume the seed. Not just like the unused seminal discharge of Chucky.
I would assume not.
Hellboy 2.
Oh, cool.
He was in the remake of Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
Victor Frankenstein.
Was it the Daniel Radcliffe one?
Yeah, and also McAvoy.
Yeah, James McAvoy.
Yeah. He was also been involved with Game of Thrones, Class, The Witcher, Artemis Fowl.
Yeah. That has yet to be released.
No, okay, yeah, whatever. But also, he's 27 episodes of Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
So he started with Cold Blood, the episode prior to this.
Okay.
And pretty much
episode prior to this was Cold War.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right, Cold War. I think I just wrote it wrong.
Yeah,
no, okay. No, Cold, no, you're right, Cold Blood. No, Cold Blood, that was the one with the Salarians. Remember, it was a two-parter. That's where, sure. Like, Amy and Rory, that's the one where, like, Rory died at the end of the second parter. So
it was, well, that was a while ago.
That was the first season of Matt Smith. Yeah, so that's, like, the one where, like, Rory was erased from time.
Yeah.
Yeah, my bad. You're right. No, you were absolutely right. Cold Blood.
Cold War
was the last episode. I'm just reading my things right. But then Dave Bonniewell, he will still continue. He's basically going to work through pretty much the end of Peter Capaldi's reign.
Okay.
So, Dave Bonniewell, we salute you.
Yeah.
Clink, clink. I'm going to have a sip of beer because you're probably done with yours.
I really am. Yeah, I'm totally done with mine.
Steve, let's talk about the next episode of Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
Knowing nothing about what it's called or what it's done. Hey, Steve, tell me, what is the name? What is... Journey to the Center of the TARDIS about?
Oh, go fuck yourself. Fuck you. Wait, are you serious?
Yes. Journey to the Center of the TARDIS. What is that? C-E-N-T-R-E, that British spelling. So what is Center of the TARDIS about that you already described? this will be your second description.
This breaks my brain. Because... when you, the way you reacted to when I implied this, the way you said it earlier, I was like, okay, so this is going to be like a Peter Capaldi, Jodie Whittaker episode way down the line. I didn't know it was the fucking next episode.
Well, I also wanted to like highlight it so that you would remember. Cause like sometimes when like you'd say stuff, you might forget. So I was kind of like,
I forget stuff a lot.
So it's like a Journey to the Center of the TARDIS sort of thing. So then I had to come up with like Journey to the Center of the Earth. You know, so what, Brendan Fraser shows up, I assume?
Yes.
I don't know.
Oh, Jesus. Journey to the Center of the TARDIS.
That kid from the Hunger Games, Josh Hutcherson.
What are you talking about?
Well, he was in Journey to the Center of the Earth.
I don't know. I didn't see that movie.
Yeah. So now he's an adult, but like he looks like he's 50. He probably does a lot of drugs.
Who doesn't?
Don't at me, Josh Hutcherson.
Dude, we've had several beers. Oh, like, who are we to talk?
I'm on my fourth one. Plus, I've had like two shots.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, what's Journey to the Center of the TARDIS about, Steve?
Oh, fuck off. Oh, I can't believe that this... Okay. So, Journey...
Go with something quick, because that seems to be like the way you actually come up with like the actual synopsis.
Well, I'm just trying to think of what I said earlier, but I don't know.
Don't.
But it's the only thing I can think of right now. So Clara gets fucking trapped in the TARDIS somehow.
The center? Let's say
the TARDIS, they're going and they dropped off the monster people and they dropped off Hilla, the time traveler, and now they're going back. They're going somewhere. Clara is intrigued. She's like, okay, so you showed me the end of the Earth. Show me just before the end of the Earth. Show me like a billion years before that so I can see how civilization is like advanced and is
about. But first, if you don't mind, I'm going to go to the pool. I'm going to go take a dip in the pool.
Here's the thing. So it travels there, but there's turbulence. There's turbulence on their flight. And so she gets knocked down a hall, like the TARDIS turns on its side and she gets knocked down a hallway and she ends up, let's say, in the pool. And then she gets all jumbled and thrown around and she tries to make her way back to the heart of the TARDIS. She tries to make her way back to the bridge, but she ends up in the heart of the TARDIS, the center of the TARDIS. And this is how they finally bond, because the TARDIS doesn't like her because she's not, I don't know, Karen Gillan or Donna or Martha or whoever.
Rose. Sarah Jane.
For some reason, she doesn't like, because Clara's history involves a time paradox. So the TARDIS doesn't like her because there's a time paradox involved in her history.
Nice. You actually brought some like actual kind of shit into it. Nice. Oh, well thank done. You.
So then they kind of mentally wrestle essentially when she's in the heart of the TARDIS, and then she basically figures out like, oh shit, I don't know, let's say she's been cloned, Clara's been cloned. I don't know, how the fuck else do you explain this nonsense?
I don't know. If I say literally, anything, you'll be like, oh, is that really what happens?
Well, you literally do know, but whatever. So yeah, she finds out she's been cloned, and her clones have been sent to a couple of different times and spaces, and they bond, and then the TARDIS like beams her back to the bridge, and the doctor's like, hey, what happened? Because to the doctor, this all happened in like 3 seconds, and then Clara was gone, and she spent an entire episode on her own, and then she comes back, and the doctor didn't even know she was gone.
So for her, it was like a whole day, but for the doctor, it was kind of like, wait, what? Did you go nip off to have a little wee?
And then Clara is like, oh no, I know where we have to go. We have to go to this planet because that's where my weird clone bullshit that's not going to happen started.
And I'm going to explain to you how I'm the impossible girl.
Yeah, Order 66. Let's have those clones kill people.
That's right. So Clara is like Yoda of the past.
Sure.
Brought forward to the Dr. Dooku and... So then how does Jar Jar Binks figure into this, Steve?
Oh, he just stands off to the side farting.
Oh, because that's classic.
It's what he do.
Classic Jar Jar just farting.
Yep.
Why can't we just have like a whole episode of just like Jar Jar farting?
That was episode one.
It just feels like it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. We've like delved into Star Wars again.
Yeah, I know.
So, So I'd like to like thank our first sponsor, Disney Plus,
sure,
for sponsoring us so that we could talk more about Star Wars. Because Disney's like, you know, any talk about Star Wars will help the actual helpingness. Because you know, with the parks all about to fail,
what the fuck?
With the parks about to fail, so then they just have to like, you know, just enjoy like the online and like, you know, everybody just like go use Disney Plus because poor Disney. you know, they're going to go the way of J. Crew. Let's just call them J. Disney.
I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about
anymore. I don't either. So thanks for listening to this episode of Drunk to Who.
Yeah.
Steve appreciates it.
I really do.
Appreciates it.
John does and, too.
Yeah, I does too. So until the next time where we talk about Journey to the Centrae of the TARDIS, where
Clara... I still can't believe that that happened.
Yeah, you were kind of weak. You know, this whole episode, you like it again. Look, if you didn't use your brain, you know... Oh, Steve, I mean, you need to stop using your brain when we talk about Doctor Who.
Yeah, or...
So remember that next time.
Or anything. What?
Or like leaving the house.
Yeah.
Maybe you should like just drink 24/7.
Cool.
Excellent. So until the next time, people, I've been Steve.
No, you no.
Until the next time, people, I'm not Steve.
And I'm not John.
And we will meet you on the other side of whatever.
No, just 2 weeks time. From next episode. Like 2 weeks from now.
Episode. Well, we'll
literally we'll 2 weeks from the day this is released. Yeah.
Bye. I've been John.
I've been Steve. Jesus Christ.
You're not Steve Jesus Christ.
I don't know. How do you know?
Are you a false prophet?
I'm false everything.
You are. I'm false, John.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Steve, speaking of like Doctor Who,
yes,
let's go watch
which we totally were.
Speaking of Doctor Who, you didn't hear like a very abrupt audit at all.
I try to be good with my edits sometimes.
No, your edits are really good, but it's kind of like, you know, people won't understand that we have like a 10-minute like rant about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Or people who are regular listeners will understand we had a 10-minute rant about Star Wars.
Yeah.
That we didn't subject them to this
time. Yeah, that those listeners will never hear, because Star Wars opinions on the internet are almost as popular as Doctor Who podcasts.
You know, it's like an asshole. Everybody has one.
I hope.